Go to John chapter 15. Ask the Lord to change this message if he wanted to. And so it's going to kind of be like a part B to my sermon last Sunday. We're going to talk about abide. That word abide, meaning to accept in accordance with, to act in accordance with. And from John chapter 15, starting in verses 1, what Jesus is mentioning when he uses the word abide, it means for you to accept and live in accordance with God, with Jesus. For you to live, to accept and act in accordance with God's word. And so we'll go to John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Everyone say more fruit. How many of you want to bear more fruit? All right, about 12 of us. Okay, there's more hands going up. Good, good. More hands go up. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in them bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, so how many of you want to bear much fruit or more fruit? When we do so, we glorify the Father, so you will be my disciples. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your word today. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Teach us what it means to abide. It just doesn't mean to say, I abide. Much more than that. Father, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. This first slide, abide for discipleship. It says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'm not sure how many of you, if you can remember back in the day when you were in grade school, that you really wanted to be on a certain team, but found out they didn't want you to be on their team. You could probably say, oh yeah, I'm on their team. But they'd probably be like, no, they're not on my team. I'm not sure how many of you were the last one chosen. The last one picked. Be honest with you, that don't feel good. That doesn't feel good. So for all of you overachievers that were always on the, you know, first team, you probably don't understand what that feels like, but it just doesn't feel good. I really stunk playing baseball when I was in 6th and 7th grade, and I really stunk. So I understand that that feeling. But it says here, abide for discipleship. And one of the things I wanted to point out is verse 4, abide in me and I in you. I'm not sure how many of you have a certain jersey of a sports team, and that might be one of your favorite teams. But wearing that jersey doesn't mean you are on their team. You might say, well, I root for them and they're my favorite team. And I've grown up, you know, rooting for this team ever since I can remember as a kid. But you're not a part of that team. You're probably a part of the fan base. But if you were to go to that clubhouse and walk in there and try to walk in there, you wouldn't be. Why? Because you are not on the team. There are many that say that they are on Jesus's team. They may say they abide in what he says, but they don't. But he doesn't abide in them. And this is important. We find that there are many people called religious people that Jesus talks to. And we're going to go and we're going to read some of those scriptures of what Jesus says about them. You see, a good and faithful steward is a result of a healthy discipleship where I abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in me. The important part is that Jesus abides in me. There are a lot of people that consider themselves Christians, call themselves Christians, but Jesus is not in them. There are a lot of churches that are filled with people who consider themselves Christians,
but Jesus is not in them. Now, how do you know that, Pastor? Of course I don't know all those people personally. But in this world that we live in, a lot of people consider themselves Christians. But how do they live? What fruit are they bearing? Is it much fruit? Is it good fruit? Is it bad fruit? We know that a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. We find out that in abiding with Jesus, that's where we're able to do something of eternal value. You see, a good, faithful steward is a result of a healthy discipleship where we are to learn. And because we learn, our minds are renewed. We are to grow. And because we grow, there is spiritual activity going on in a disciple of Jesus's life. There is spiritual activity. You could see something. I mean, for those of you that have ever gone to the doctor's office and you heard the heartbeat or your heartbeat, I mean, there is evidence and activity that a heart is beating. And as a disciple of Jesus, a healthy discipleship with Jesus, we are to mimic and reflect Jesus. Where there is an active application of truth going on in that person's life. I like the song, the older song, but it's by Salvador, and it's talking about the moon and how the moon reflects the light of the sun. I want to reflect Jesus. I want people, when they see me, they see the reflection of Jesus. And as I follow Christ, Paul says this, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was following. He was a reflection of Jesus. So he's telling everybody in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he tells everybody, follow me, reflect Jesus as I am reflecting Jesus. When we do so, there is active application of God's truth. I want this kind of discipleship. If you don't know this or understand, this is your spiritual lifeline. This is where you receive true life and how there is evidence of true life living in you, that you are abiding in him and he is abiding in you. Without it, I have no life. Without Christ, I cannot say I have eternal life. Put up Romans chapter 6, verse 23. We all have just, or I would like to hope that all of us, Romans 6, 23, I would like to say that all of us opened up a gift a couple of weeks ago. If you didn't, I'm sorry, I'll be glad to get you a gift if you didn't open any gift whatsoever. But for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, he gives us this gift. It's eternal life. Without Jesus, we have no eternal life. Without opening up this gift of receiving what Jesus has done for us, what God has given us, if you don't open it up, you have no eternal life. So without Christ, we have no life. We produce nothing with eternal value outside of Jesus. So this is why it was important that Jesus was to say this, and how it might have flipped the lid of all the religious people that were listening. What? Abide in him and him in us? And this is how the Father is glorified? Well, hold up. There's a lot of laws that we've followed ever since. This is what glorified. No, Jesus was saying, none of that glorifies the Father. It points out that you're a sinner. But what Jesus was saying is that abiding in me, it will produce much fruit. And because of that producing of much fruit, it will glorify. So the religious people looked white and clean, as Jesus said. They were whitewashed sepulchers. But it's the last part that he said that was really harsh, but it was true. There was evidence on the outside that they're on the team, but on the inside, there's no evidence at all that there's eternal life. He says, yet they are filled with dead men's bones. No life activity on the inside. So this is why it's important that if we say we abide in Jesus, that Jesus ought to be abiding in us. And the key part is Jesus, not us. We're just a vessel. We're just a package. We're just a carton. We're just a bottle. Whatever you want to see yourself as, whatever image you see yourself as, that's what you're supposed to be, empty. And so that Jesus can be filled. He abides in us. We abide in him. And so they're filled with dead men's bones, no life activity. They may have sounded holy, but their hearts were far from God. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 10, Jesus quotes from Isaiah 29 about God's people. And he says that the people he's talking to, he's talking to the religious people. He calls them hypocrites. And he says that their hearts are far from God. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, verse 8, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Verse 11. Go ahead and put up verse 11. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. So Jesus was quoting what Isaiah said about God's people and bringing this toward the religious people. Those who thought that they were holy and those who thought that they were clean on the inside, they just looked clean on the outside, but they were not clean on the inside. You see, we are to abide in Jesus for discipleship because there is no other way to produce fruit. There is no other way to have healthy discipleship and life with God. It's an ongoing connection, an ongoing teaching, an ongoing training of yourself. Less of you, more of God. Less of you, more of Christ. This is the training through the Holy Spirit. It's truth. Truth will help us to produce much fruit. Much fruit from this kind of this kind will reflect our discipleship in Jesus. Let's go to slide two. My next point is abide to know and overcome. So we abide for discipleship. We have to abide in Jesus for true discipleship. There's no other kind. But even to abide in Jesus is to know him. And if we know him, we know what we're about. And if we know what he's about, what we're about, then we know that we can overcome. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now I want to point out this. Again, Christ is not Jesus' last name. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is the anointed one, God's anointed one, has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming. Interesting that it says in 1 John chapter 4 here, many years ago, and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist was floating around, was here before I was born. And it still is. Because the enemy desires nothing much but to destroy the discipleship, the connection that believers have with God. To put out that fire and that light that's within us that we may say we are his disciples and that we abide in him. But the question is does he abide in us? Verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? We're in a spiritual fight. We're in a spiritual warfare every day, and we overcome them. What? The spirits that are against God, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of fear, the spirit of racism, or whatever other spirit that's out there that is wanting to ruin our connection and our discipleship with God. We are able to overcome them. It says, oh, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is what? Help me finish this. Is greater than he who is in the world. See, it's not a catchy phrase. It's not just a catchy phrase that we put on a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. This is true. We overcome. We overcome the works of Satan. We overcome the works of these evil spirits that are lurking in this world, this spirit of the Antichrist. We are able to overcome them, and therefore we have to abide. We abide to know the Jesus that we serve, the Holy Spirit that God has placed within us as believers in Christ so that we can overcome. So abide to know. Abide in him to overcome. Verse 5, it says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We who know God hears us. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How many times have you fallen for the spirit of error? I have. If you feel embarrassed to raise your hand, I have. There are many spirits in action every day, wanting to distract. Put the next slide. Wanting to distract you. Many spirits in action every day. And come to the conclusion that, you know what? Life, the life that you're living, the life that you're living today is more spiritual than physical. And if you haven't gotten there yet, just wait a little longer and you'll realize. The life that you're living is more spiritual than it is physical. There are spiritual things going on every single day. And the spirits that are against God, the spirits of the Antichrist, are in action every day. We are always being led by the Spirit. Like I mentioned before, class is always in session. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to teach us. Holy Spirit is always convicting us. Holy Spirit is always wanting to correct us. School is in session, and the Holy Spirit wants to teach us and lead us into all truth. So we are always being led by the Spirit, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. Every day. Why? Well, because the world and the wickedness in it sends us messages that are contrary to the Spirit of God every day. Again, wanting to ruin and disconnect that discipleship that we're supposed to have, abiding in Jesus and Jesus in us, His Word in us, so that we could produce. The devil would love for each one of us to have trees bearing nasty, dirty, rotten fruit. And it will be because we are not abiding in Him. We're not abiding in Jesus. We're not abiding more fruit. We're not abiding much fruit. And we are not glorifying the Father. So there are messages that are contrary to the Spirit of the living God every day. Movies and media, the news of the day, are filled with distractions and attractions of the wicked. We're not going to go there, but in Genesis, the devil distracted Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve should have been busy about eating from all the other trees, and yet one tree caught their attention. They were distracted from all the other. Was it because all the other trees didn't have fruit? This was the garden. Every tree had fruit, especially the ones they were supposed to be eating from. But the enemy, the wicked one, distracted them in an attempt to bring fear or focus off the victory that Jesus gives us. The enemy wants to distract you. So he'll distract you. Evil spirits lurking every day to bring fear, to bring torment, to bring wonder of what's going to happen. And it's never going to happen anyway, but just it'll float. Anybody ever have that happen? Thoughts in your head. I was talking to somebody today about discussions in our head that we will possibly have with somebody. They'll never happen. But yet we're so consumed and caught up in all of that, that we are distracted. There are evil spirits always lurking to distract us from God's truth, which is more important for that day. People that we live with, that can happen. People that we work with, people that you go to school with, will also distract you in your walk and journey with God. This is why our daily focus must be on God more than anything else. I pray that it was helpful during this time of fasting and praying, and understand it wasn't Rick and Shannon's idea. I believe me, it wasn't Rick and Shannon's idea, but the Lord led us to a time of fasting and praying, and hopefully in those 7 days, you desired more what God had for you than what the physical body was saying. Chocolate, coffee, meat, whatever it was, your body was screaming at you. Hopefully it will spark something the rest of this year that you won't have to wait for the pastors to be led by the Spirit of God to call the church for a time of fasting, but that you will be hearing the voice of God when He says, that's enough. Or He says, get away with me. Or He says, as Scripture says, afflict your souls, which means time for prayer and fasting. That you'll fast and pray. That you'll desire what God has for you more than what your flesh is wanting. Fasting and praying helps us achieve this goal. What goal? To desire more of what God has for me today than what the world says, than what whoever I'm working with or whoever I'm living with or whatever's going on in my life. Let's go to the next slide. See, attractions. attractions. These are a couple of attractions that they attract people to go there. Even during COVID, people are going there. And so, listen, if children fully understood the sacrifices that their parents make, they would appreciate their parents even more, and grandparents. They would appreciate their parents and grandparents even more if they understood what it takes to take them to these attractions. If children spent their own money at these places, then less children would probably go to these places. But these distractions and attractions, it happens all the time. All the time. Can I be honest with you? Okay, I know that my football team are out of the playoffs. But there was a distraction today. There was a sense of attraction to finish watching to get back and watch the game. I'm not even a Jaguar fan, but just the hopes that they would win today. I don't even know if they won today. They did? Okay, they did win today. Hallelujah. There is a miracle. They won today. But listen, there's so many attractions. They attract our senses, our minds, maybe our stomachs, and lead us to do something that would say that, well, that's more important than God. Listen, there might have been a distraction today. You just really wanted to take a siesta. When the Lord was saying, if you'll get up and spend some time in praying and get your heart set and ready for what I want to say to you today. Maybe that was a distraction. The next slide. We have the ability to reconnect with God. I should have made that bigger. I'm sorry. But to reconnect with Him. Because I know that none of us are constantly 24/7 always connected to God, and you never mess up and you always get it right. There's none of us in here, right? None of us are perfect. Where there are times that we have to reconnect with God. Our attitude was wrong. Our thoughts went somewhere that wasn't supposed to. I thank God for the opportunity that He gives us to reconnect with Him and His Word. I thank God for His forgiveness, that if we were to say, Father, forgive me, like Shannon mentioned this morning, God, forgive me, I blew it again. Don't ever think that God has a list, you know, a chalkboard with how many times you blew it and how many times you came to Him. He's not a father like that. And He'll say, see how many times you messed up? Do you really mean it today? Do you know who does that though? The enemy. The devil he always likes to do that to point out, oh, the 50th time today. Is it going to matter today? To just really rub your nose in it. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to that. Know that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. Thank you, Father, for that. Faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And if I didn't know that and stand on that and thank God for it, many times I would be, oh, woe is me. I'm just a screw up. And I would be distracted of my failures instead of looking at the victory that Jesus gives me. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, we've shared this verse many times, but it's important because this helps our stinking thinking to change. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Just for a moment, while I read this, the rest of this verse, it might be in a message a couple of weeks from now, but talking about the altar. But can I ask you to just close your eyes while I read the rest of this verse? Everybody, just close your eyes while I read the rest of this verse. And I want you to picture an altar, picture a grill, picture a fireplace, picture something where something is burned, where something that you put over the fire or in the fire. Just picture that. Have that word picture in your mind. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. We only become holy because of Jesus. Acceptable to God. We can only come to God because of Jesus. So we are to present our bodies like this, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not allow the world to conform you, shape you, form you to reflect the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your stinking thinking needs to change so that your life may prove, so that your life, your words, your actions, your attitudes, your being will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank you, Father, that you create, that you allow us the opportunity to reconnect with you. That every day that you give us, God, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, like that altar where we die to ourselves. In the process of whatever is laid on that altar, there is an aroma of a sacrifice being lifted up to you, where you are being glorified and magnified. And what's laid on that altar needs to die. Thank you, Father. You see, if we know and are aware of the spirits that are lurking to distract us and to cause us to our eyes and our senses to be attracted, if them being not of God, if we know of them and are aware of them, we are less likely to fall for their tricks, their treachery, and their distractions. Colossians 3, I'm not going to read all of it, but verses 1 through 11, the New Living Translation, it says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. The realities of heaven. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about these things. What things? The realities of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Lastly, abide to rest. Slide 6. Abide to rest. This is something that has been mentioned and referenced last few weeks, and I'm not sure how many of you are paying attention. In sermons, what Janine has been saying up here, I think Melissa even mentioned about resting in God. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, the New Living Translation, says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Verse 15, he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of this death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Verse 18, now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Go to slide 7, my last slide. I wanted to just highlight verse 14. For Christ himself, we could find peace in Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles. He united God's people and those that were not chosen to be God's people to become a part of the body of Christ, to be one in Christ. It was really interesting that today, and I didn't formulate my message based on this verse here, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, today's promise. Those of you that did not get a booklet, there's a bunch of booklets up here. You can get one before you leave. But a promise that we are to stand today. Listen, these are not just booklets that I came across and I, you know, just had this thought. Oh, this is a great. This is in connection with what God was already saying to us about his promises. And that this would help unite us through this year. That we all, it's just one verse. But it's a verse you can chew on and meditate on it, maybe write it down, maybe begin to memorize it. Maybe one of these verses will be your new memory, your new fave verse. But these verses come from God's word, and they are his promises, something that we can stand on, something that we can thank the Lord. And if we all together as a church would read that same verse, maybe at not the same time, but in the course of the day, and you know what? You might have forgotten today. That's okay. You can read it a little bit later and stand on that and meditate on it and think about it and allow the Spirit to speak to you about it. But here, today's verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith. I'm not sure if you ever seen that t-shirt, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified, made righteous by faith. And we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and just play a worship video. I want to close this service with a time of reflecting on resting in God. Abiding to rest in him requires us, if it's possible, and if it's not, then you need to learn how to do this. I'm telling you by experience, it's not easy to turn yourself off. Turn your cell phone off. Turn all other distractions off. Any attractions, turn it all off. And sit in his presence. It's interesting that certain people, like my nephew who loved to fish, they can go out there and just cast their bait, you know, cast their line into the water and maybe just sit there. And some people can sit there for 15, 20 minutes waiting for a bite.